if there's no atoms, then there's no nucleus. And then there can't be nuclear weapons. And so what the hell is going on with all these things in the world? And if you go and investigate, Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the history of nuclear weapon, I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. The guy said, "If you everything you believe will be false." And they meant it, because that is the way to run an efficient control grid. There's a lot happening now. And so that there's two sides of that. A, there's a lot of people who are, as you say, waking up. And then the other side is there's the control grid people are upping the ante. Big time. That's what COVID was about. That's what these current, quote, wars are about. And, you know, that's what the whole health freedom movement is, co-opting people into that control grid. That's their role, is to essentially keep people on the plantation and keep them in this technocracy that they have in mind for us.
Hello, hello, high-vibing it homies. Welcome back to another epic episode of your favorite podcast, High Vibin' It, here to help you just live your best life in a various number of ways, in various areas of life. And today we are talking about health and optimizing that with a very special guest that we're super excited to introduce to you guys, Mr. Tom Cohen. Dr. Tom, he's a visionary in alternative medicine with decades of experience in natural and alternative healing, with 6 best-selling books challenging conventional views on viruses and cancer treatment. His expertise makes him the best person to talk on these topics today. We're really excited to... what I want to ask him about, and he honestly started explaining this to us before we even started recording. Yeah. We're like, stop talking. Wait till we record, because this is too good. So we're excited to have him on and talk about the role consciousness plays in healing and just optimizing your health and all of the jazz that is going to make your vibes on fleek. So yes, Dr. Tom, welcome.
All right. And it's Cowan, not Cohen.
Cowan.
I was going to say, I was like, sorry. Cowan, like a cow.
Okay, you can call me Tom.
All righty, Tom. We're excited to chat with you. Tom, welcome. We always kind of start the show with each guest kind of getting their story, their journey, what led them to the area of expertise, their zone of genius that they're in now. So whatever you'd like to share about your journey and what brought you here today would be great for those who maybe don't know you or want to be introduced to your work.
So, you know, a lot of people who do something similar to what I've done, which is basically for almost 40 years, I was a holistic alternative family doctor. I did some ER work in the beginning, mostly just to make money. A lot of people have a story, you know, they were sick and they wouldn't get help and all that. And I never had any story like that. I think the only thing I can say is when I was 5, my mother said, "He doesn't suffer fools gladly."
When you were 5?
When I was 5. And so I have always been skeptical of authority figures. I think it was because my father, let's just say he didn't seem trustworthy to me. Which was a great way to learn that people in authority aren't trustworthy. And then I knew a lot of doctors growing up, and they didn't seem trustworthy either. And so it was natural for me to question pretty much everything. And I wasn't going to go to medical school thinking that medicine was done the way it's usually done. So when I figured out or found out that there was another way to do medicine, then I could go to medical school. And then I did that. And basically, I've just asked the question over the years, and I think this is important for people. The main question is, what is the claim, and is that claim true? Which is different than me trying to figure out what is true. So what I mean by that is, you know, well, let me give you an example. If there's an 18-year-old Asian fella's parents are Caucasian, and one day he finds adoption papers in the closet, and he asks his mother, because he's never seen a picture of his mother pregnant, and he asks him, you know, is this true? I was adopted. You never told me. And she says, yes. And they confirm it. We got you from an orphanage in China and all that. He goes to his best friend and says, well, I'm a little shook up. You know, I just found out I was adopted. And the guy says, so who are your real parents? He says, I don't know. I just found out. He says, until you tell me who your real parents are, I don't believe you were adopted. Now, that's, I would call, illiterate way of thinking. And you know how many doctors I've said, there's no evidence that there's a virus of any sort or a virus that causes chickenpox? And the first thing they ask me is, so what causes chickenpox? In other words, who are your real parents?
Right.
Now, I may or may not know what is chickenpox and whether it's caused by, but I know for sure that it has nothing to do with whether there's a virus or not. That is an independent claim that needs to be either proven or disproven. And by the way, if you can't falsify the claim, then it's a belief. Like if somebody says God created the world in 7 days or 6 days, I mean, that may be, and I don't know how to verify that. And so if some people believe it and some people don't, and I have nothing against beliefs, but don't call it science.
Right.
It's just what you believe. So, you know, there's a claim the heart pumps the blood. That's not true. That blocked arteries cause heart attacks. That's not true. DNA is in us and determines heredity. And that's not true. And there's receptors on cell membrane, like opiate receptors and serotonin receptors. And that's not true. And there's a thing called viruses that make people sick, and that's not true. And
okay,
so I
we're
just
gonna
went
have to,
from one
have
thing
to break
to...
some of these down, because you're saying a lot of things, Tom. And I know not like we're very interested and into this, but I know there's some listeners who are like, what? There's no hereditary in DNA?
No, so, I didn't say there's no heredity.
The DNA in us doesn't cause heredity?
Yeah, well, we don't even really know there's DNA in us. But if there is a chemical, it has nothing to do with what we call heredity, which doesn't mean you look and act like your mother. There may be heredity, and we may or may not know what that comes from, right? We may or may not know who your real parents are. But that has nothing to do with the proof of whether there's DNA. And here's the thing. People are saying, are you kidding? There's got to be DNA. There's all companies. So I just ask them, so how did they isolate and prove the existence of DNA? Do you know?
No, I hope you know. Do you know?
See, that's the interesting thing. So you've gone around for whatever, 30 years, thinking there's this thing called DNA, and you don't have a clue. And I'm not picking on you, but most medical doctors, they don't have a clue who found DNA and how they found it.
No, actually, hold on. Wait a minute. I cannot explain it to you because I don't have a scientist brain, but I did read a book that talked about the discovery of the helixes in DNA and how they, Seven Daughters of Eve. Have you ever read it? Do you know the book?
I don't know.
It's great. It's a great book. But I do know it somewhere in here. I just can't.
Somewhere.
I can't extrapolate it for you because it's in there because I read it once.
Yeah, no, right.
I'm not a scientist.
Basically, what I'm hearing is what you are teaching is a way of thinking and questioning.
Yes.
Things. Like everything. This could be applied to any area of life.
Any area of life. So, and the question is, or the method is, you find out what the claim is. The heart pumps the blood. Okay, what does that mean? Let's define it. That means the walls of the heart, you know, squeeze, contract, and that propels the blood around the body, right? That's what it means.
That's what I thought.
Now we're going to investigate that claim. So first of all, we find out that there's approximately 10,000 miles of blood vessels in the body, which you can see. And in those blood vessels is fluid, which is kind of sticky, and there it has stuff in it called red blood cells, which are the internal diameter of the vessels, like the capillaries. So the first thing that should make you think, or what made me think, was, well, that's a pretty strong pump to push sticky fluid that has stuff in it that's the same size as the diameter of the vessels, 10,000 miles around the body. And not only that, if you look at a flow diagram, in other words, the velocity of, or the movement of the blood, it goes from very fast as it enters the heart, very fast, actually the same speed as it exits the heart, and then it slows down through the arteries, and then it stops at the capillaries, does a little dance, and then it gets going again, right? So in other words, the movement of the blood, all that movement comes from pushing the blood, including stopping and then getting going again at your leg. And when I heard that, I thought, if I wanted to go from San Francisco to New York on a bus, and the bus stopped in St. Louis, and the bus didn't have an engine, I'm not getting in the bus.
Yeah.
Because once it stops, it can't be from a push from behind. So the pump, the motive for the movement has to be at the tissue or your leg, right? Because that's where it stopped. I mean, if you were a farmer and you had a pond where the blood water stops, and you wanted to have the blood go up the hill and then come back down, you wouldn't put the pump at the top.
Right.
You'd put it where the water stopped.
Yeah, I'm following.
So that's ridiculous. So interesting. And then you look at the outflow tube of the left ventricle. Right? So the left ventricle squeezes and it ejects the blood. That's what we're taught in medical school. And it goes through what's called the aortic arch, which is shaped like McDonald's arch. Now think about it. You have a spigot on your house, right? And you turn the spigot off and you put a flexible garden hose shaped like a U. And then you turn it on full blast, right? Because we're going to pump 10,000 miles. And the hose can move. So what's the hose going to do?
Close out.
Straighten, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out when you, in systole, where the pumping happens, allegedly, the hose bends in, or the arch bends in, which is totally weird. And we used to work in a cath lab, so I saw that 100 times, and I asked the cardiologist, how come when the blood is moving through the arch doesn't straighten because it can move, and it bends in? He said, well, that's the way it does. And I said, I know that's the way it does. Because I can see it. And it makes no sense as far as a pressure propulsion device.
Right, right. So obviously you've given this a lot of thought. So now we have to know, like, do you have a theory for how it actually works just before we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, I mean, the blood, so we know that the movement has to start at the periphery where the blood stopped. And so it turns out here's we get into another thing. We learned like third grade or sort of that water, all substance has three phases, right? Solid, liquid, gas. So copper, there's solid copper, there's liquid molten copper, and you can make it into a gas. Water, ice, water, steam, right? So there's Jell-O, right? 97% water, they say. Which phase is it in?
Jell-O phase.
No, it's a multiple choice. You got solid, liquid, gas.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably say solid.
So it's ice.
I would say liquid because 90% water.
But you know, it's between solid and liquid because it's obviously liquid, not
liquid. The liquid meaning it can move and you can stick a pin in it and the water will run out. It's none of those.
None of them. It's
wrong. So the three-phase thing is wrong.
Yeah.
Leave out
none of the above.
I get. You're not that. You're adopted. Period. Doesn't matter if we know who your real parents are. There are four phases of water.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you get water with a hydrophilic surface, it forms this gel phase. That's why you have to put proteins or gelatin proteins in the water or it doesn't gel, right? And you heat it up and that changes the protein somehow. And then you cool it and then it forms a gel. So in our bodies, we have hydrophilic tubes called capillaries, and they interact with the water in the blood and form a gel. Now, gels are always negatively charged, which means the positive charges go into the water, the liquid water, and they repel each other and then start moving.
And okay,
you can prove this by putting a beaker of water, you know, and then hanging a hydrophilic tube horizontally in the water, right? So then the water will start to move in the tube. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You can measure the speed, the velocity of the water, and then you can shine the sun on the beaker, and that increases the flow of the water, the velocity. Which is why when you're in the sun, you have better circulation. You feel better. And then you put the beaker on the earth, and it starts moving better. And you put your hands on it, like laying on of hands, and it starts to move better. You can measure it. It's easy. And then you put your cell phone next to the beaker, and the water stops moving. Because the electromagnetic emanation from a cell phone destructures the water, and that's what happens in people, and then you get sick.
Did you know that this show is 100% self-produced and made possible by listener support? If you love the show and want to help us keep bringing you all the good stuff, join our Patreon. Your support helps us cover editing, software, and everything we need to keep this podcast going and growing strong.
As a Patreon member, you'll unlock amazing perks like early access to every episode, extended video content, behind-the-scenes footage, and more. And the best part, if you're one of the next 100 people to join, you'll get our exclusive manifestation toolkit valued at over $100 as soon as we hit our goal of 100 patrons. Head to patreon.com/highvibe to join and we'll see you inside.
And this is such a beautiful transition into the meat of what we want to talk about today, because this is where it gets, I mean, it's all been interesting, but this is where it gets like, I can't stop listening.
Kelsey. First of all, we just learned so much right there.
Yeah.
Go in the sun, get grounded, keep your cell phone away from your body.
Here's where it gets really interesting. So we're told in medicine, you know, and I'm trained as a medical doctor. I mean, I don't do it anymore, but I did it for almost 40 years. So I'm not unfamiliar with the story. So you got this so-called disease called high blood pressure. Right? And everybody takes drugs, et cetera. So imagine you've got a bad pump, which means bad movement of the blood in the capillaries moving up to the heart. And then what does the heart do? Stops the blood and creates it has flexible tank. So it expands the tank and then it creates a vortex and that creates a suction, which ejects the water, and the water, meaning the blood, goes to the rest of the body. So here's the thing. What would, if you have a bad pump, right? Because you have a cell phone next to your body all the time. What is your body going to do to keep the blood circulating? In other words, if you have a bad pump and you want to water 100 feet away, and you only have the money to change your hose, what would you do to the hose?
Get a longer hose?
No, that makes it harder.
Turn it up?
You make a smaller diameter hose.
Yeah, skinnier, so it can push more pressure.
It'll get more pressure, mm-hmm. right? If you had a huge hose, then it would just trickle out.
Right.
So if you don't fix your pump, the only thing you can do is change the diameter of the tube.
That's what our body does.
And that's what your body does. You got a bad pump, so it squeezes down on the tubes, and that creates more pressure, which is good because then you have blood flow and you don't faint all the time. And that's called high blood pressure. So that's not a disease. That's a compensatory mechanism. Unfortunately, the doctors who are mostly scientifically illiterate don't know that. So they come along and give you drugs to widen your tubes so that you feign and get erectile dysfunction.
Oh, no.
Right?
All at the same time.
You don't have any pressure.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Then they think they're treating a disease. And because the number is lower.
Yeah.
And you feel terrible. That's called success.
Yeah.
Literally. Don't even get me started on the.
It is quite amazing, though. Like most of the diseases. Diseases are just our body trying to fix a problem. So, or let me say it this way. High blood pressure in that instance is your body trying to fix a problem, which causes another problem. So how much of this is just going and figuring out what's causing the high blood pressure? None of it.
What do you mean?
Do doctors tend to go like, okay, well, let's talk about why you have high blood pressure?
No, they have no idea why.
They don't do. They just like, what's the pill for this?
They think that your heart pumps the blood and you've got a genetic disease called hypertension, even though they can't tell you. They tell you. And by the way, how do genes work? They make proteins, right?
Yeah,
that's how we're told. And then they find out there's allegedly 200,000 proteins and 10 to 20,000 genes, which means apparently geneticists don't know arithmetic because there's 180,000 proteins not accounted for by genes. So who made those? This is ridiculous.
So are you like of the belief that when you say stuff like who made those, are you just like, well, God made those, or like, Tell us what? A little bit about, say it again.
Who made what?
Like anything that's going on in the body. The proteins. Let's talk about the proteins. Where did those come from? Are you a spiritual person?
How do you know there are proteins in the body?
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore, Tom. Clearly.
No, here's the thing. If you say there's, say, a hormone called insulin in the body, or estrogen, right? You probably think you have estrogen in you, both of you.
Yes.
So here's the question. How did they find estrogen in you?
Or well, they didn't find it in me.
In the first person.
Oh.
Or the first animal. How did they isolate and purify estrogen out of, say, a guinea pig?
No idea.
You have no idea. Neither does 99% of docs. So I went and looked. So they take like an ovary where they think the estrogen is, and then they grind it up in a blender, and then they mix it with some acids, and then they filter it, and then they centrifuge it, and then they put some other reagents in it, and then they dehydrate it, and then they reconstitute it, and then they put it in a gel, and they get a protein. Now, here's the problem. How do you know that thing was not created by adding all the acids and bases and reagents?
Because as soon as you said that, I'm thinking they're maybe just creating a whole new thing.
Yeah.
With all the different.
In order to know that you didn't create a whole new thing, and I've asked lots of analytical chemists about this, you have to do a control. Mm-hmm. In other words, I take your ovary and I mix it with hydrochloric acid and I get this, and I mix it with nothing or water and I get the same thing. That proves that it was there in the first place. And they all say to me the same thing. Well, if you don't mix it with hydrochloric acid, you don't get it.
Right.
Well,
so how do you know that the hydrochloric acid didn't precipitate something that wasn't there? And the answer is, I don't know.
Permission to ask a question. Sir. Okay. So what if you took like an ovary from like a fertile menstruating woman, and then you took an ovary from like someone who's already passed menopause? Would that make a difference? Because, you know, the levels are supposed to be like lower in postmenopausal women. Or is that a weird question?
I'm not saying there isn't something in an ovary.
Right.
I'm not saying an ovary doesn't do anything.
Right.
Nor am I saying that you can't make a chemical called estrogen in a lab. Nor am I saying if you give a woman or a man or anybody estrogen chemical, it doesn't have an effect. But if you say that if you give somebody a chemical and it has an effect, that proves that you have that chemical, then I know people who were, quote, sad, and they took some cocaine and then they didn't feel sad anymore. And that must prove that the reason people are sad is because they don't have enough cocaine in them.
Yes. I've heard worse arguments.
I like that one.
Interesting.
So you don't know that there is a difference between a postmenopausal ovary and a, you know, premenopausal ovary. And what is the difference, you know, energetic? That's what, you know, Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and lots of other people have said until the 1850s when they said, forget about all that. It's all about chemistry.
Yeah.
And that was because they were selling atomism. Now, that's an interesting thing because as I say, everybody believes in atoms. Now, a lot of people believe in ADAM atoms, that we came from that atom. But they changed that and sort of mocked people and said, no, that atom doesn't exist. It's ATOMs, atoms. And so then everything in us, in living things, made from atoms. So what is an atom? Well, it's got this little nucleus, and then somewhere, you know, 99, like in New York City, way far away, there's these electrons spinning around. So it's 99.9% space, right? That's what they say. So your finger is 99% space, and the table is 99% space. So how come I can't stick my finger through the table?
Some people say it's just your belief.
Well, I've never seen anybody stick their finger.
Me neither. I'm still waiting for that one.
Interesting.
So essentially, we've been sold this atomic theory of life, which, and it's basically nonsense.
I mean, honestly, can't say I'm very shook by this information, by this new information, because how quick are we to be like, okay, that's what the book said. Cool. Moving on. Like, let's just memorize how that process apparently works. And then, like, you're a little kid and you're asking questions and your teacher's like, well, I don't know why the fuck that is. And you're like, well, okay, I guess this is just how it is. Cool. Right. Then you never question again and you just go on believing just things that they say are true. But then how many times later on do things get disproven? And also, quantum physicists don't even seem to really understand quantum physics still. So it's like, do we really understand that much? I don't know.
Well, they tell you all kind of nonsense, like things which are made of atoms, which are, you know, they've never seen an atom. There's no picture. Nobody has ever seen insulin or photographed it or photographed DNA. The original photograph of DNA was like an X. Rosalind Franklin, 62 hours X-rays of this powder from a spleen or something, and it gave an X. And they said that means it's a double helix. Then 20 years later, somebody came along and they did a project, I think Sussex University, and they repeated the whole steps. except they started with the spring of a ballpoint pen instead of what was allegedly DNA, and they got the exact same picture. So I tell people your hereditary material has the same chance of being DNA or the spring of a ballpoint pen, which means it's hard to understand evolution because we've only had ballpoint pens for maybe 100 years.
True.
So then that's pretty quick for, you know, all that to happen.
Okay, so back to the consciousness in healing and the role that can play. Because when I first started asking this before we recorded, you were like, well, we got to go back. Consciousness comes into the game later, but if you subscribe to the whole atomic theory, then it's not really going to do anything. So can you kind of explain that for people? And then maybe we can chat about like where people's empowerment comes in and where they can use consciousness to help themselves and their health.
So here's the main key about this question around empowerment that you said. So again, you know, I'm a medical doctor, right? I trained and went to medical school and whole bit. There's really one thing you learn, and you better learn this properly. And you can make a mistake on just about anything else, but you better not make a mistake on this. People, i.e. patients, have no agency. The reason they get sick is bad luck, genes, or germs. Or if you're a dumbass and you smoke, that'd make you sick, and that's not our fault. Somehow they pick up on smoking. They don't like smoking. Otherwise, you got nothing to do with it. It's not how you eat. It's not whether you walk. It's not whether you ever move. It's not whether you suck on a computer all day. It's not how you think. It's not your relationships. It's not how you sleep. It's not your job. It's not your parents beat you. It's not that they're bombing your house or your neighborhood. It's none of that. It's just bad luck. And if you ever blame the patient, woe is you, you're get kicked out of the tribe. So that's what we learned. And so the problem is, it's wrong that we have the agency. Now, here's how it works. It starts with what you think. And then thoughts create actions, and actions create consequences. Let me give you an example. I had a friend who was a doctor, anthroposophical doctor, and they're just as delusional as everybody else. And so he believed there was this thing called viruses, which there turns out are not. Anyways, because of that belief, he spent his career giving AIDS patients HIV drugs, right? So then COVID happens, and because that's a virus and he believes in viruses, he got 3 COVID shots. And after the third one, an otherwise healthy guy, dead in his bed 3 days later from a blood clot. So why did he die? Well, you could say he died because of the COVID shot and caused blood clots, and we know that happens, and that's all there is to it. But really, he died because of what he believed. Because it's a perfectly reasonable thing if you believe in viruses are going to kill you and there's this horrible virus, that if the people who you learn this from tell you there's a way out, you might do it. And so he did. And that killed him. So how does consciousness play into it? What you believe will determine your actions in your life. And we all have ended, we live in a system that has from day one manipulated how we see the world. Our parents were complicit in it. They are usually immature adults who didn't know how to parent anybody, at least everybody I know. And so you ended up with, you know, emotionally based psychological thought disorder. You don't know how to think. You believe in viruses, and if somebody says, how do you know there's a virus? It's a simple question, right? And some of them are even medical doctors. They tell people every single day, oh, you have a viral. And you say to them, oh, well, how do they prove there's a virus? They have no fucking idea at all. I had no idea for 30 years. Think about that. Now, that's not even to say they're wrong. That's just to say that is a wonky way to run a society.
Yeah.
Where the keepers of the truth, they don't even know how anybody knew that. Ask doctors who came up with the proof of DNA. They have no idea. Maybe they say Watson and Crick. Then you say, you ever read Watson and Crick's paper that got a Nobel Prize for proving DNA is a double helix? No. Well, I have read it like 10 times. I'm sure you could guess that. There's not a measurement in the whole paper. He said, assume that there's a rotational angle of 10 angstroms. Then it would be a double helix. I thought, if you assume that I have a form with four 90-degree angles, oh, my God, I found a box. No, you didn't. You just assumed that you had a box, and that's the definition of a helix. And so you just wrote that in a paper, and because they were Masonics and all that, you know, they accepted it, and there you go.
Hey there, it's Lindsay. Are you ready to transform your life and achieve your biggest dreams? Well, welcome to the Align Your Mind membership. As a seasoned hypnotherapist, I've crafted a digital sanctuary where you can access powerful hypnotherapy audios anytime, anywhere. Imagine waking up each day feeling empowered, confident, connected to the universe, and ready to conquer your goals. With AYM, you'll experience deep, long-lasting transformations in every area of your life. If you're ready to rewire your mind, release what's holding you back, and start living your dreams, don't wait any longer. Just click the link in the episode description and start embodying your highest potential today.
Hey, all my creators out there. It's 2025. Don't you think it's time to turn your expertise into income and take control of your future? Kajabi is the leading creator commerce platform to monetize your content. So whether it's courses, coaching programs, memberships, even podcasts, Kajabi gives you all the tools you need to start directly earning from your knowledge. And the best part is you can try it free for 30 days and see the possibilities for yourself. But don't wait. Go to the episode description, click the link, and start building your dream business today.
And there you go. That's how it's so funny. Talking to you is making me, and hopefully everybody listening, question how much of what we know was just assumed, labeled, wash our hands of it and move on. And then as we go along in life, we're like, well, the people that know figured it out a while ago. So yeah. We don't do our own research. And so we're all just kind of blindly bumbling around with all this misinformation. And it's just, it's nuts.
And by the way, and it's hard to come up with this quote because somebody heard him say it live, but it's not actually written. Allegedly, the guy, William Casey, was director of the CIA in 1981. In his first meeting in the CIA board, you know, said the goal of the CIA is to make it so that everything the American public believes is false. Not some things, everything. So if you hear some story, it's false. That's their job. That's their mission statement.
Wow.
And they're good at it.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even really need to get into politics. My husband always calls it like professional wrestling. Like it's a show on both sides. Like my husband grew up loving professional wrestling, like the theatrics of it. And he's like, it's all just, you know, it's like politics. Great, great analogy. It's just all everyone like improvising on stage with like a storyline, but then behind the scenes, they're all friends, you know, they have this agenda, gotta keep people in line. Question. So then this begs a question. Let's say if you believe that like vaping is fine and it doesn't do anything bad to you, then can you do that your whole life and you'll suffer no health consequences?
Ridiculous. That's poison.
Right. But some people believe it's not poison.
Deliberately engineered to hurt people. So you can convince yourself that this thing actually is fine. You can convince yourself DNA is heredity. You can convince yourself blocked arteries cause heart attacks. You can convince yourself viruses are going to get you. And that doesn't mean they will. Because what you have is a thought disorder. And if you ask the person, let's go through the how you came to that conclusion. Did you, you know, analyze the contents and expose an animal to it and do controlled studies and show that there's no danger? No, I didn't do that. I just didn't believe it.
Feel it in my emotions.
Right.
Okay, cool. Great. Glad we got that.
I like that. I like
that. So how does one, I guess, improve their thoughts if that's where it all starts? Or what are some of the more, I guess, beneficial beliefs that people should be programming themselves with that will lead to more optimal health?
Nothing. You shouldn't program yourself. I tell you, the most important revelation for me, and I had been doing this, like I said, since I was probably 5, because I would hear people and I didn't believe them. That's just who I was and am. And I didn't realize that it is actually a kind of like spiritual path, whatever that means. They call it in Hindu, neti neti, which is the path of finding the claim and debunking the claim or falsifying the claim and not worrying about what's true. I didn't know why the blood moved. I just knew that the heart didn't pump it. I didn't know why people had a heart attack. I just knew that it wasn't blocked arteries, because if you do autopsies on 100 people who died of heart attacks, only 20% of them have a blocked artery. I mean, this isn't like rocket science. This is, if you went to a, the problem with science is they use big words and stuff. If I said there's 100 houses blown up on your street and 20 of them have dead skunks there, and that's because dead skunks blow up houses, you would say, so what happened to the other 80?
Right.
Right? It's not hard. But somehow, if you get the facts, only about 20% of the people who have a heart attack and die, because they do autopsies, have a blocked artery leading to that part of the heart, which, by the way, doesn't mean the blocked artery caused the heart attack. It just was there. So that falsifies that claim. Now, here's what I think is the magic of life. If you can convince yourself that I can live in that place of, I don't know why the guy got a heart attack. I just know it's not blocked arteries. I don't know why you get chicken pox, or if there is chicken pox, which there isn't. But if there, you know, I just know there's no evidence there's a virus. What will happen to you is 3 days later, somebody will send you a study showing here's a way to think about why people have heart attacks. It happens to me over and over and over again. Yeah. And only, I think, because I just got to the point where I don't know why they have a heart attack. I just know it's not that. And if anybody has another idea, I'll listen. If you can't get to that, which most people can't, oh no, I make my living unblocking heart attacks or giving people antivirals or vaping them or whatever. So I am wedded to this way of thinking. Nobody is going to help you figure out what really it is, because you're not interested. Once you become, you know, and I tell people, like the virus thing, I don't care whether there's a virus or not. There is. If there isn't, there isn't. What possible difference could it make to me? If there is, you give them antivirals. If there isn't, you don't worry about it. So I looked at the evidence, and there isn't. There was no emotion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is so earth-shattering. Like, why?
Yeah.
It's just somebody told you the heart is a pump. It's wrong.
So is your main, do you have a main theory that maybe goes back to the more traditional human way of thinking before this whole medical system was enacted of like, yeah, it all just comes down to energy and like energetic imbalances for the most part, but it's a very complicated thing to explain because there could be a lot of moving parts to the energetic imbalances?
I mean, I could sort of do that, but it's a little bit of a disservice. Here's the way I think of it now. So I have these four cats. You know, I'm a big cat. I didn't used to be, but so the main one is Pumpkin. And so I've watched him over the last 4 years. And so he goes in and out when he wants, you know. He goes outside and he looks around before he goes in the fields or wherever he goes. And he smells the air and he wags his tail, which I think is like a sensing device. And he sniffs the air and he looks around and everything. And then he decides where to go based, I think, on if he wants to chase rabbits or if there's like a dog or some danger out there. So his life is sensing his sensory input and then choosing how to act based on that. Now imagine you could say to Pumpkin, and he believed you, Pumpkin, there's a deadly danger out there and you can't smell it, see it, feel it, sense it in any way. What would he do?
He'd never leave.
He'd never leave. Go high under the bed.
That makes me so sad for humans.
Right? He'd have to know. And no, and then he would stop eating because, you know, the thing might get him. And then his cat friends would say, you see, Pumpkin, the virus got you. And then he'd get worried and start thinking, I better get antivirals. Yep. And then next thing you know, he'd be dead.
God.
That's where people are.
Not
they're walking around not believing what they experienced.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gaslight is
see, out. You don't see DNA. You don't see vitamin C in oranges. You there's people out there eating tomatoes because of lycopene. Right?
Yeah.
And so, and maybe they even feel bad when they eat tomato. But don't worry, because there's lycopene in there. So that's good for your prostate. And they have no idea, A, if there's lycopene or how anybody figured out there's lycopene in there, let alone whether it actually helps you.
Right.
You can't live like that. You can, but you will suffer the consequences. So my effort in my life is I'm doing everything I can to not think like that. The reason I eat this is because I know how it's grown or I grew it myself and I like the way it tastes and I like the way I feel after I eat it. And I don't care what you think about whether it's got lycopene or not.
So basically being your own compass, trusting what you feel, see, notice, how you feel, etc.
And yes, and the more you do that, the better you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will start to sense things and feel things and notice things like Pumpkin does. He notices a lot. And at least I think he does. And you do that and you get better and better at it. And then you have a better and better life. Mm. So if you trust people who already told you their intent is to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, where do you think
that
that's going to
happen? So much money off of you and your body and your suffering.
Right. Is there that's anything, their business model.
Now, I think I know the answer, maybe. Is there anything that in your awareness right now today where you think, oh, medication is a good idea for this thing? This thing you should probably go get some help about. Or is it really just you're never going to say that to someone because they have to be their own compass?
Well, I mean, we started a clinic, an online clinic called the Nuvalgy Clinic, with doctors who think like this and people who do, you know, EFT and tapping and biofield tuning and food and dentists now and optometrist and people who get your story. You know, we get your story and try to figure out what happened to you. And that is, that's how medicine used to be done. It was all, you know, energy healing and no diseases. There's no diseases in Chinese medicine and homeopathy and Ayurvedic medicine and traditional healing. I lost my connection with reality. Because of that, I fight with my wife and I don't eat good food and I don't move and blah, blah, blah. And everybody has a different story. You hear the story and you try to help the person find their way to a better way of living.
Love it. Yeah, that's beautiful. Because, I mean, it's pretty reasonable to... And we can see this when people live better, they feel better, they're healthier, they typically can live longer, at least with more vitality when they are alive. So I think that's a pretty pretty reasonable claim. I like it.
Yeah. You know, and I always tend to say people hearing this, they'll think, okay, well, so this guy sounds like he makes some sense, but he can't possibly be right. Because we have all these, I know my next door neighbor, he's a virologist. He's a really smart guy, not my next door neighbor, but he can't possibly be wrong. And, you know, like if there's no atoms, then there's no nucleus, and then there can't be nuclear weapons. And so what the hell is going on with all this?
Oh my God, in the world? What's going on then? What's this?
Right. This is professional wrestling. You go and investigate, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the history of nuclear weapon. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, come
it's
on.
A joke.
Is anything real? No, it isn't.
The guy said, "If you everything you believe will be false." And they meant it. Because that is the way to run an efficient control grid.
Yeah.
To get people to say, oh, this guy is nuts. And we're going to ostracize him and take his food away and starve him and torture him and put him in prison or whatever. And you don't have to even have the state do it. The people do it to themselves.
Oh, you're right. See, are you noticing more people? I guess the term would be waking up, becoming more aware. I know with people like you and with other, you know, question askers, I like to think Kelsey and I are pretty good question askers. I've never asked questions about DNA, though, so I'm glad you're here. Are you finding there are more and more people stopping and like, wait, is that actually true? Is that real? Because I kind of feel like there are, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think, you know, somehow... energetically in the world, there's a lot happening now. And so that there's two sides of that. A, there's a lot of people who are, as you say, waking up. And then the other side is there's the control grid people are upping the ante big time. That's what COVID was about. That's what these current, quote, wars are about. And, you know, that's what the whole health freedom movement is, co-opting people into that control grid. That's their role, is to essentially keep people on the plantation and keep them in this technocracy that they have in mind for us. So, and then there are some people who see through that and don't want to be part of them. So both are happening, and it's good, you know. And I don't know who's going to, quote, win, but, it, you know, you just do what you do. And it's like when people say, well, why do you talk about stuff? I say, well, what am I supposed to talk about? Like, I'm supposed to lie and say,
like everyone else.
Fump, you know.
Yeah.
I tried that once and I got all confused about what I was saying. And I said, I'm not doing that anymore.
Amazing. Way to be true to yourself. We appreciate the authenticity. We appreciate the just
noble,
I guess, moral of the story here to just question things and trust yourself a little bit more, because I think that can go a long way. And honestly, any area of life, not just our bodies and health, but everything. So thank you so much for bringing your perspective to the table. I want to wrap it up so we can head over to the Patreon for a few moments. But can you tell everyone, like, where they can find out more about you, your clinic, how they can get support from your team and all that jazz?
So most of my, the central place is drtomcowan.com. There's a newbiologyclinic.com, and you can see how it's set up. But we have a program where we have like care team members or people who, so if you're interested, you can sign up and you get to talk to somebody for half an hour, not about your medical problems, but how does it work? You know, like, what do you pay and what do you get? And, you know, what's the philosophy? And they'll help you choose the best practitioner for you. So that's part of what we're doing now. We kind of got full, so we may have stopped that for a little bit, but that those are the main places you can look.
Okay, cool. Is it all remote, or do you guys work with practitioners that are like on the ground?
No, it's all for...
Okay. Beautiful.
For now.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to link to all that in the show notes. Is there any other, I guess, just final statement or anything we didn't talk about, or anything you want to leave the people with on a final note?
Not really. No, they think they've heard enough. And they will ask themselves the question, is it really that simple? And you can figure that out for yourself.
Okay. Beautiful.
Oh my Love God. It.
Love yes. Your support. Okay, we're going to head over to the Patreon for a couple more minutes. If you want to keep this juicy conversation going, just go to patreon.com/highvibe. Join our Patreon as a paying member, and you get all the extended video episodes of every version where we go a little bit deeper with the guests, and we give you guys freebies and goodies and bonuses, and you can comment in there, and it's a really fun, supportive High Vibe community. So head over there. That'll be in the show notes. And until the next episode, we love you guys. Have a good one.